I'll tell you, this is inspiring here. Every time Jay comes here, I just love listening to this music. It is inspiring. Jay, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I usually intro you, but you know what? You do it much more eloquently than I.
Thank you, Leonard. That is very inspirational. I'm on top of my toes right now.
Going around the station. If only we had video.
It's too bad. It's really too bad. There's no video. Well, Leonard, I am known as a certified pension consultant with an IRPA designation. So that's an enrolled retirement plan agent issued by the IRS. And actually, I don't think I've discussed this yet. It's going to be a closed group. The IRS announced late last year that they're no longer going to give that examination. And so if you're not already an IRPA, you are going to be too late.
So you have to IRPA real quick, otherwise you're out of luck.
So there's about, I think, 1,200 in the nation.
Wow.
So, and that's going to fall down as people leave the industry. So we think that's a good thing for
those that
are.
Why did they do that? I mean, why did they do that?
You know, it's all budgetary constraints that not ever taking the test to make it worth their while. Uh-huh. They didn't say anything to, you know, it wasn't compliance related or it wasn't a good idea. It's still a great idea because the idea was to have someone who was familiar with all the pension rules step in between attorneys and plan sponsors because they might be doing the work day to day like I am, Jason. So they thought, hey, there's some people who are really experts in this area. Let's recognize that expertise and let them now represent plan sponsors who can do it better than, in most cases, most attorneys, because most attorneys are not ERISA attorneys.
You know, what's fascinating about that is they're probably bringing in a fairly decent amount of revenues, but that there's a disconnect there. And I guess one question, would ASPA, is that something that they might take up because it is a professional designation? Is that something that might be worthwhile for their members to sponsor and make sure it's administered?
Well, they already have a number of other designations in various areas. So this one was a joint designation, though, with the IRS. And that's why it was important. So, for example, I can sign, and I did yesterday, sign a power of attorney on behalf of my client who is being audited for their 2014 Form 5500. So they happen to be located in Hayward, California. So the audit came out of San Francisco. So I called the auditor and said, hey, I'm going to be handling this. Here's my power of attorney, and here's my IRPA designation, so I can do so.
Yeah.
So we'll take care of that for that plan sponsor. Where else they had do it themselves, and they don't know what they're doing. You know, so it's like 6 pages of data they need to audit this defined benefit plan. So that's the ugly side of a plan that about 1% of those plans per year get audited. But it makes sense. We have to make sure people are using or following the rules, Leonard, because...
So what does it typically cost to do something like that? I mean, you don't do these services for free.
No. Our time is probably going to be, $700 on the low side. It could be as high as $2,000 if it gets really time intensive and we've got to go through calculations with the IRS and so forth. So it's all based upon the time involved.
Terrific.
Yeah. But otherwise, we are really hot and heavy right now into 2016 with compliance items for 2015. And so as we're doing that, it reminds me, guys, this is a brand new year. This is the time to plan. People are asking, should I have done this in 15? Well, maybe you should, but let's do it for 16. Let's not forget where we are. We're going to plan the year in right now. So we're actually doing projections for contributions for plan sponsors for 12/31/16 right now.
Oh, that's exciting then.
Yeah. And then it flows down to all the employees. Should you be making a salary deferral, for example? That's the question each employee should be asking themselves. Well, is there that free money out there, Jason? They always say if your employer has a match in their 401k plan, at least put in enough money you need to get the maximum matching contribution.
Yeah, without a doubt. And as soon as possible.
Yeah, while you have it. And the cool thing is, you guys are talking about tax work. When you fund that salary deferral, you have immediate tax savings because it's on a pre-tax basis. Your paycheck goes down, but then it goes up by the tax savings.
Yeah.
So your net cost is after that tax
savings. So have you seen anybody take that into account with the taxes have gone up, especially for people that have to pay the 3.8% tax on investment income, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen people be a little more motivated to set up any type of plan just because of that reason? I mean, in and of itself,
I don't know just for that new tax, but I do know that we had a banner fourth quarter. We brought in about 25 new plans in the fourth quarter, which for us was a record, even though we're only in our third year. But we started that right after Labor Day. So I think people were recognizing they had more tax to pay and looking for ways to save to pay less tax. And a great idea always is a tax-qualified plan.
And they're probably making more money than they had been before as well, to be able to have the available money to put into a plan.
I think so. As the economy is, you know, not too bad, not too great, people figure out how to work within that environment, and I think they do better over time. So we saw that. So it reminds me, we should talk about 2016. You know, all the plan limitations are the same as they were in 2015. So we can still put in $18,000
so
as a salary.
They didn't go up.
No, there's and no it's cost because, of living at all.
And it's because there was no inflation in 2015.
Yeah, they measured that on a September fiscal year basis, and there was no inflation.
That's
so
amazing.
All the pension numbers are the same in terms of maximum deposits. So $18,000 salary deferral for 401k, additional $6,000 catch-up contribution if you're age 50 or better. Total contributions in a defined contribution plan can exceed $53,000. Then we have total benefits in defined benefit plans, about $210,000 annual benefit. But what that means, Jason, is you've got to fund that. And what it really means is at age 62, if that's when you started funding, you would fund about $260,000 per year into a plan. And so
that would be till 72, right? You can do that.
Actually, go past 70. You just have to start taking part of it out when you reach 71 half. But you can fund retirement plan as late as however old you are.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's not like an IRA.
Oh, okay.
So if you started a company at 65 and suddenly became profitable, you're 70, you could fund it for the next 10 years if you so desired.
If you're alive.
If you're alive and you had the wherewithal. And, you know, but it's actually a nice way to pass along money to heirs, too.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know, that's you got tax deductions, mm-hmm. and then you're delaying their tax as well until they take it out. So it's a great idea. But that reminds me of today's – it's probably time for today's Integrity Pension trivia question.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah. So
what is your
brought to you by
day?
Integrity Pension Services, where trust begins with integrity.
Gotcha.
So, Jason, part one is it better for you to have your retirement plan funded by – yourself or your employer when it comes to which method would give you the most retirement benefits? So to state that differently, to maximize retirement benefits, should they be funded by employees or employers?
I think employers, because they can create more of a plan that can generate higher contributions.
You are correct.
Okay.
So employers can put in more money into retirement plans than employees. And part two, we'll go to Scott. Are you there, Scott?
I'm here.
Okay. Scott, to maximize retirement benefits that are funded by employers, should that employee participate in one, two, three, or more than three plans?
Boy, that's a trick question.
It really is.
Well, multiple plans, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Scott. In general,
a combination plan would be the best.
Yeah, you're right. In general, if your employer is funding a retirement plan for you, you want to be in as many plans as possible. So you could actually be in two plans at once with two different employers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if, say, for example.
Yeah, you couldn't do the 401k again, but you could do the profit sharing.
Right. That's why you're right, Scott. So that's why it's differentiating between employee and employer funding. So when it's employer funded, if you work for more than one employer, you can certainly more than one
but
plan.
But you got to be careful with like affiliated service groups.
Right. So
if
I was going to
somebody
give,
was commonly owned employers, wouldn't you be a little precluded from doing something?
You would, because those would in fact be the same employer.
Yeah.
So it's really critical in our industry to know who is the employer. So we're always asking that, Jason. I just talked to a group today where it's a medical LLC, but it's owned by three separate professional corporations. So all of those are the employer in that case. Each of the four are collectively the employer.
Yeah,
that's the classic scenario. That and attorneys, which attorneys were the one who caused the affiliated service group rules because they were playing games. But doctors were next in line behind the attorneys, right?
Well, that's right, Scott. We had the famous cases in the 70s, Dr. Kitty and Dr. Garland, that established those affiliated service group rules because of the IRS with their litigation with them. And so they were, for example, setting themselves aside and then managing their practice and say, well, no, the employees are over there. I'm over here in this separate corporation. I'm not an employee of that. I just provide my services to them. They said, no, no, you guys are seen as one. All your income comes from that source. You are an affiliated service group.
Yep, got to treat your rank and file the same as you. That's right.
So, you know, also, Scott, I want to bring up that situation we had this week, if you don't mind.
And the
concept here is that we need to be careful to operate our plans correctly. And in particular, you know, as employees participating in plans, we need to know what we're doing. For example, when we defer our salary, we get to choose our investments at any times, and we might want to get some help in choosing our investments. We also could possibly take out a participant loan letter. We could take out a participant loan from the plan, and we sign a promissory note. Read the promissory note. So if it says if you leave employment, it's due, guess what? You get fired, your loan is due.
Yes.
And if it says it's in default after 60 days and you haven't made payments, you're going to have a taxable event.
And penalties.
Yes, exactly. 72T, 10% tax penalties. Ouch. So it's very critical to read your documents and know what you're doing and ask questions. You know, if maybe you're on severance pay, are you terminated or not? And is your loan due? If your loan is no longer coming out of your paycheck, you should ask why. If your salary deferrals changed and you didn't change it on your paycheck, ask. You know, we need to be curious and ask questions. So that's my take then for today, to plan for 16 and ask questions.
Internet site, telephone number.
We are at integritypension.com at 800-652-7067. Integrity Pension Services.
So it's great to have you on, Jay. You're amazing, a font of information. Look forward to having you back on next month. But you're going to be sticking around here.
I will stick around for a bit. Sure.
Okay, we'll be back right after the break.